Hey, it's Ryan Seacrest here, and if you're looking for some serious fun, head over to ChumbaCasino.com. At Chumba Casino, you can play all your favorite social casino-style games for free anytime, anywhere. It's the most fun you can have on your phone or computer.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 21+.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
All right, Carver, I only have one more question for you about the golf. So I've heard him saying that they're going to have a fair and equitable arrangement for LIV golfers to reapply for membership to the PGA because they had gotten rid of all of them. What does that mean? Like, because are they still going to have guys going like, let's say hypothetically DJ was like, and Cam Smith are like, no, we're still playing LIV. I mean, it's all under one umbrella, but we're going to stick to our agreement. They gave me $150 million. I got an agreement I got to live up to. What is the status of players that, like, after this move and merger?
Well, here's what we know as of right now. For the rest of this year, 2023, everything is going to stay as it is. Guys on the PGA Tour are going to finish out the year on the PGA Tour. The guys who are in LIV are going to play the remaining LIV events for this year. All of these things are going to have to be talked about for next year in terms of how do guys now pay a fee. So what are you telling me, that DJ, who made $150 million from LIV, is going to not give him 50 grand to get back on the PGA Tour? Like, I don't know what that means. You're all under the same umbrella now. Just if they want to play in the PGA Tour, now the LIV, as you know, is a little limited. I mean, they only 48 guys that play in that. Right. I don't know if there's gonna be money involved there or it's how they're gonna do it. Is it just gonna be a team event? So I think a lot of things need to be figured out down the road. But for the rest of this year, everything kind of stays the same. Although I don't know what will happen with the Ryder Cup, which is in September, which we've had a lot of discussion about, of who's allowed to play and who isn't allowed to play. I'm sure that those rules are now going to be, thrown out the window, right? I mean, all these guys that they said couldn't play should be eligible to play.
Listen, I'll tell you one thing. I've been a part of many mergers and buyouts and sales and TV and radio over the years. And the one thing that has held firm every time, I mean, every time, is that they always claim nothing's going to happen to you when the entire time everything is happening to you. They always claim, don't worry, it's going to be status quo. Everything's going to stay the same, and it never does. Know this, it never does. Whenever there's a buyout, a sale, a merger, everything changes as they lie through their teeth and tell you that nothing will change. There will be changes to golf. Count on it.
And the last thing I'll tell you is there's also been some rumblings that maybe another reason why this happened today is, of course, there's been a lot of litigation. There's been a lot of court proceedings between these two that we're eventually going to get to the point where maybe some things were going to get put out in the public about the PGA Tour, maybe how they have spent their money over the last 25 or 30 years, etc. That also brought them to this decision to, all right, we've had enough. Let's just all get together and spend a whole bunch of money. That's not more of this.
Phil was like, "Wait till you get a load of the things I'm gonna say."
Right.
He's gonna tell the story, and then they didn't want any of that. This is so what you're saying is it's like they came to an agreement to end the litigation to save their asses.
Everybody. Nobody's books get open. Nobody's dirty laundry gets aired. Everybody makes tons of money.
Settlement.
And away they go. That's all done and good. And if anybody throws a chair at Jay Monahan at this meeting, we'll let you know here on Coast to Coast. If that happens, I'm sure that it'll be immediately put out. Somebody already wrote, they had like a poster on the door, Scotty, 4 o'clock players meeting. One of the players wrote put LIV above it. 4 o'clock LIV players meeting on the door in the hallway. So this is going to go over well for Jay. Whatever.
Hey, they got more money.
Welcome in our, They got more money. We welcome in our radio affiliates for El Coast to Coast, Sirius XM, Channel 159, Sports Byline. Good to have everybody with us. All right, so like we said, if anybody throws a chair at Jay, we'll let you know. Stanley Cup Final, Game 2 last night. What a beatdown, Scotty, out in Vegas. I mean, God, I know you talked about it with Ben in the first hour, but 7-2, the Knights with a hammer job on the Panthers. They even chased Bobrovsky from the game on this Brett Howden goal that made it 4-0 on TNT.
Stole with a hit on Forsling without the stick. Now he picks up the new one from the bench and joins the play with Stevenson. Here's Stone with that new stick. Slides it across. Score! Brett Howden, 4-0, Vegas.
So I just want to say, for the first time, you've heard me say this at all through the entire playoffs, is that the Stanley Cup Finals sucks. Like, it sucks. The first game, third period, was a blowout. A 2-2 great game turned into a blowout. And then that game last night was awful. Like, I don't care what anybody says. I'm not interested in watching a 7-2 Stanley Cup Final game because, you know, I was on the Panthers in the series. Obviously, I admit that. I don't have a problem with that, to be honest with you. I thought they were playing like the ultimate hockey run, like the Kings in 14. They were on a run, 11-12. They're playing great. And then they get their ass rolled. I picked the Knights last night. I bet them at, I told you, -135. I got no problem with that. What I got a problem with is, for the first time ever, because I told you, I think the NBA Finals and the playoffs have been terrible. And I think that for the first time, I'm saying I think the Stanley Cup Finals has been terrible.
They were really bad last night. You never know what can happen with all that long rest. But for this case, at least, that 11 days off, that did not help them at all.
Right, it killed them.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Yeah, and I know we're going to continue with the hockey. I just saw some of this Monahan doing the CNBC thing. I mean, you talk about a cream puff interview. My guy lobbing him like, oh, wow, it's a great day for golf questions. It was pathetic. Like, he hasn't walked into that room full of people that hate him yet. The Viper meeting, that's the one we want to see. Not this CNBC cream puff piece they did today with him. Put a little makeup on him, make him look good, talk good about how smart he is. Nice deal you cut, Jay. Like, it was so pathetic, this interview they did with him. Like, they didn't ask him one tough question the whole time. Not one. It was like serving volley. Like, here, we're just going to let you say whatever you want. You're a genius. Nice deal, Jay. You're the man of the year. It's pathetic.
And he's obviously, they're really not going to ask him anything tough next to that PIF guy, public investment fund guy from the Saudis. And now that guy, Scotty, you talk about billions that dude right there is involved with. He's the guy who owns Newcastle. He's got his hands in the F1 racing. He's got his hands in probably one of those teams that Ronaldo got all that money for. And now he's got basically all of golf. So that's what that guy's involved with. Lots of stuff. That's for sure. All right. Couple things from last night. The game sucked. First, Paul Maurice really wasn't as funny after game two as he was after game one. Didn't have as much to say after a game like that. Here's Paul.
I guess the parts of our game that we know we can improve, we're going to have to get to real fast. There's no doubt about that. We'll have a pretty simple game plan. I don't think it's about scoring goals in this series because I think it's about defending the rush, and we weren't great at that tonight.
God, I almost fell asleep right there. I didn't listen to one word he said.
He's got to regroup, that's for sure. Next, we'll quickly go through this. Late in the second period, Tkachuk absolutely blasted Eichel, but it was as clean a hit as you are going to see in an NHL game. There was a lot of talk about it afterwards, obviously. Here's Tkachuk's guy, and here's Tkachuk's problem. He's their best player, Scotty. You know, he's got 36 minutes in penalties in this series. He's gotten 3 10-minute misconducts.
Yeah.
That's not a way to go when you're the team's best player, to have 36 minutes of penalties through the first two games. Here's Tkachuk talking about the Panthers being down 2-0 and the hit on Eichel.
I was a little bit surprised by it. I went to the bench getting ready for a power play, but I think one of those misconducts I deserve, but I don't know about the other one. But yeah, at the end of the day, it's they might have thought that game was a little bit out of reach maybe in the second period, but we certainly didn't. We've scored 7 goals in a period before, so never known playoffs. I don't know. I think I just came off the bench and saw him middle of the ice with his head down, and doesn't matter who you are, you shouldn't be going through the middle with your head down. You're gonna get hit. Like, I mean, I would go get hit too if I had my head down in the middle. Like, it's nothing, not a big deal. Like, he's a really good player, and I mean, really good players can get hit too. I just went to the bench just thinking, get some rest before a power play, but yeah, I was sent off.
Yeah, I didn't think he got sent off for the hit. I think he got sent off for the fight afterwards. And
that's
look, and here's the other thing. Listen, this guy, his 36 minutes of penalties, at least I have to say this, he's the only guy hitting anybody and doing anything. He scored last night, even though he spent 20 minutes in the box, and he's been nothing but trouble on the ice because nobody else is doing anything. So I actually commend him for his style that he's turned into this, I don't know what you want to call him, troublemaker on the ice, because he's been in all kinds of penalties, but he's the only one doing anything on Florida's team. The goalie has snapped. What you said before the break was the best thing anybody said. The 10 days, 11 days, 9 days, whatever it was, ruined Bobrovsky, and I think it ruined the Panthers. The NHL has to find a way to not go from the conference finals to starting the Stanley Cup finals 2 weeks later. It's embarrassing. They have to play every other night. I think the delay should be no more than 4 to 5 days maximum. The fact that it was 10 days is criminal.
Look, this has been talked about forever. Some teams, it looks like it doesn't matter. Some teams, it looks like it does. You know, we talk about the King. The Kings that year had a long layoff, and they ended up winning the Cup, in runover fashion. Every team is different. Every player, every goalie, every setup. And it's possible that this team, with how hot they were, you know, it cooled them down. Not playing for 11 days cooled them down. And they looked flat. Really, for what? I want to say 4.5 out of the 6 periods. I guess in the first period and a half in game one, they were in the game. But I mean, they've been squashed ever since.
Do you think they're
completely
toast?
Squashed.
That it's over.
I'm not going to say that until I see how they play in game 3 at home. If they get some renewed spirit and they can somehow get it done at home. Now, I think they got to win both games at home. I think that's the spot they've put themselves in now.
But what's the bet? Is the best bet to bet on Vegas again? Just like a lot of people think the best bet is the Nuggets in game 3 to go back to the better team. Vegas is clearly the better team.
And if Bobrovsky is not going to be the Bobrovsky from the past couple of rounds, I just don't see how they overcome that. I just don't. I don't know. And nobody else is scoring on the team besides Tkachuk. I mean, like you said, he had the goal, and I mean, he didn't play half the game, and he's the only one that scored. So they're getting nothing. Like, what happened to Verhaeghe? What happened to Reinhardt? What happened to Bennett? Like, all these guys that were a big part in what they did to get here, they have absolutely disappeared.
Isn't it depressing to you? Isn't it depressing that it's hit a thud and that this is the end of our season with these two crappy games? Now, what's next? Is it going to get worse? If they don't win that game, it may be the worst Stanley Cup final ever.
Well,
I don't care what anybody says.
Let's see what happens here game 3 on Thursday night. I think that there's still a chance to salvage this series and to make it something. There is. Florida's got to win Thursday night, obviously, and give us some hope.
Do you believe, like, because I've always said, you know this, the first round is the best round in sports. The first round of the Stanley Cup playoffs is the best round, and it only goes down from there. Because they, I know they whittle down to the two best teams, and then the Stanley Cup final is like a all night long you think you're going to get it on a day, you got it all going, and then she says, good night, Irene, and slams the door in your face, and you walk home limpy, your boy Limpy Limpstick. And then all I know is at the beginning of the playoffs, it is so awesome, and there's all those games going on at once every night for like 10 days.
It's great.
It's the greatest thing ever. And then the cup final is a letdown.
Well, let's hope that we could turn it around on Thursday night. Florida is favored on Thursday night, minus 120. So you're getting Vegas at even money. Vegas even money up 2-0. Total of flat six right now for Thursday night. We'll discuss this more Thursday, obviously, but that's where we're at.
Florida's got to win. Just to save face for hockey fans. Honest to Christ, show up.
Please. And I think they got to win both, or else Vegas Vegas wins one
of
those games and win the cup. They got to win both games.
I think the Miami Heat have to win both.
I agree. I think the Heat have to win both as well. I think both the Florida teams right now, I don't know if they need that, you know, they need that Rick Haro magic with that guy in the building all week long. They need a little something
magic
to get them through. The Haro magic of South Florida. That's what they need to get through this.
I think you're right. It's that simple.
That's for sure. We'll do the baseball. You'll start the baseball with Davis when we come back. How about that?
My man, Davis Mack.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
This is a whole new jungle. This is The Lion's Share. Brought to you by BetMGM.
All right, Davis Mattek joins us every day on C2C on The Lion's Share, brought to you by BetMGM. I want to tell you about their bonus bet promotion. It's unbelievable. BetMGM players are going to receive a bonus bet to use on any sport, and they give them out on Wednesdays and Saturdays. So tomorrow, when you log in to your BetMGM app or on the website, you're automatically getting a bonus bet. It's like on the hizzy. They're just giving you a bet every Wednesday and Saturday on the house. Have a bet. Have your way. Have a great day. How great is that? Bonus bet can be used on any sport wager. Go to BetMGM.com for terms and conditions. This is another badass offer from BetMGM. Yesterday, Davis, I said to you that if the Pirates win again, they're sixth in a row, and the Brewers lose, the Pirates will be back in first place. And I asked you then, and I'll ask you again, do they mean business? We saw their start, then we saw their failings, and then they rattled off six wins in a row after San Francisco swept the Cardinals. Now they're up one on the A's, playing them two more than the Mets, and they're in first place again in the Central. How crazy is this? And can they keep it up?
Well, I mean, I definitely think they are going to keep it up for the rest of this series against the Oakland Athletics. They're hitting them at a nice time of the schedule. And I would also imagine to be a player on the Pittsburgh Pirates, where a lot of these dudes, you know, that really all they've known is losing, right? These guys who have been in the building for a long time. I mean, some of these free agents, right? Connor Joe, all he knew with the Colorado Rockies was losing. Austin Hedges, he's played on some good teams before, but hasn't got to play a ton. Now he's getting to play a lot. I mean, one of the things, obviously, that is a huge beneficial thing for the Pirates right now is something that I thought would be a weak point for them to start the year. Their starting pitching has not been a weak point. Mitch Keller is basically looking like, you know, he wants to try and get some National League Cy Young votes. Contreras was pretty solid, or Oviedo was pretty solid last night. Contreras is getting a little bit better start over start. You know, really, I would say they have more guys in their rotation right now who look like league average starters, but the Brewers are the deeper team, and they have the better high-end pitching talent as well with Burns and Woodruff. We'll see if those guys get decent results for the rest of the year. And that Mets series, that is going to be a dogfight for the Pirates for sure.
They don't have the Pirates bullpen.
That's true. The Mets bullpen stinks.
And I don't think the Brewers have a great bullpen.
No, and they've traded away all their guys who were good. And
that's
then
right.
The guy that they thought, okay, we'll trade away Hader. And, Devin Williams will come in. And it was like they traded Hader. And Devin Williams is like, I actually don't remember how to get anyone out. I completely forgot the object of the game that we're trying to play. I've never seen anything like it. They're like, sure, we'll trade away Hader. Won't pay his contract. We've got this guy under cost control. And then it basically went to the point of them not even wanting to use him in high leverage situations anymore. That is one of the – Scott, people do not talk about that enough. But having like a nails-on – bullpen, I mean, it adds like 15 wins to your bottom line over the course of the season. It's crazy.
I mean, it's insanity. The game has become, in my opinion, that first five inning, you see these people betting on the first five innings all the time, right? And then to me, it's what's going to happen in the seventh, eighth, and ninth when the bullpen takes over a game. There's the start and there's the end, and it used to be different. It used to be a guy could go seven and a half, seven and a third, seven and two thirds, then you go to the pen and finish it out. It's like those days are long gone. If you don't have a hold guy and a save guy, you're screwed in baseball anymore.
I mean, not only do you have to have a save guy and a hold guy, but you got to have a fireman. You got to have the guy who could come in and get the three outs when you really, really need it. You got to have a lefty who can come in, but new rules, right? He can't just come in for one guy. And for some of these games, I mean, so many of these teams are doing bullpen games. You got to have a long reliever who, it used to be back in our day, the long reliever used to be the worst guy pretty much on the roster. That guy used to stink. He'd have a 4.7 ERA. He wouldn't strike anyone out. And honestly, you hope to never see him. But the long reliever has got to be good now. The long reliever's got to be a guy that you trust in like pretty high leverage situations, because he's going to end up throwing six, seven innings a week.
Do you believe in Helen Keller tonight laying a run and a half in that second game of that series?
Every day we try and pick on the Oakland Athletics. And if Keller's run stops against this team that is batting Seth Brown cleanup, that has, Aledmys Diaz, who wasn't good enough to, be the 40th man on the Houston Astros roster. If this is the team that breaks up this magic streak that he's on, I would be shocked.
So what do you think of this series with the Mets and Braves in Atlanta tonight with Elder going? He's 3-0. He's been great with like a 1-9. It's crazy. And then believe it or not, Carrasco, I think in his last two starts have been fantastic for him and the Mets. What do you think of his chances against Elder tonight in Hot Town?
Well, Carrasco has started to figure things out, which you like to see, because he had to take some time away from baseball for cancer, so we never like to see that. He has been mostly bad for the last 3 years, honestly, most of the recent sample we've had of him. But I don't know. I just sort of always feel like those guys who were really good in their late 20s, early 30s have the ability to dig back down. And maybe not, maybe Carrasco is not going to hold these results for the entire season. Maybe he'll end up being, a 4.3 ERA guy. He had a long sample in his career of being like a low threes ERA guy. And that would be a huge boon for the Mets. But the Mets probably are viewing this series as pretty important, because not only are they behind the Atlanta Braves in their division, they're trailing Scoop Mish's Miami Marlins by three games as well. It is not a two-horse race in that. And I mean, theoretically, maybe the Philadelphia Phillies will get it together at some point. Maybe Trey Turner will start hitting.
So I know you're let's look at some of your picks. I want to start with your Seattle play tonight at $1.15 at Petco. The problem, I like that bet, but I didn't do it today when I made my plays, because they've lost 5 of 6 and they just got swept. Now, I know Gilbert Grape's going against Musgrove, who's actually pitched decent his last couple outings, right? And I know how inconsistent the Padres are. What was your thinking here with a cold Seattle team going into San Diego and betting on them?
Honestly, it's that I think this game is priced like Joe Musgrove is still the guy he was last year with the 2.9 ERA, never walking anyone. And he just does not pitch like that this year. He's not getting any strikeouts. His strikeout rate is way down. He's not getting any strikes swinging. That's always big to me. When a guy stops getting strikes swinging, to me, that means that he's just not really fooling batters nearly as much anymore. I just thought the line just looked a little bit off. I mean, I know the Mariners cannot get a hit recently. It's super frustrating to watch. I keep waiting for Julio Rodriguez to turn back into the guy that he was last year, only 10 home runs. He does have 12 steals, but he's just been pretty average, right? Rodriguez has just been real average, and I
overrated.
Keep waiting for him to turn it on. I don't know about overrated. I'm being patient.
He's having an awful year compared to what everyone had him as. I mean, he was literally Mickey Mantle, and now he's nothing like Mickey Mantle. All right, here's the deal. You got St. Louis tonight. You're taking him with my boy, Libertad, 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 Libertad. You're going with the Cards tonight at Globe Life.
I am going with the Cards, and we went against them the other night. But honestly, I think that this kid who's pitching, this former Tampa Bay Rays first-round pick who's pitching for the Cardinals, he sort of represents, you know, the big hope for this organization. They need an ace. They don't really have one. And I'm just looking at the starting pitching matchup like, freaking Dane Dunning. I think Libertadores is just a way better pitcher. And, I mean, I do sort of think, don't you think at some point the Cardinals are going to turn it around? Like, they can't be this bottom basement dwelling team. They have too many good hitters.
No, they don't. I hope they never turn it around. How's that sound? All right, you got two overs. Giants-Rockies at the beer can. And you got the Brewers team total over 4.5 against the O's. I got to be honest with you. I like the Orioles tonight in Milwaukee. I think the Orioles are one of the best road teams in baseball.
Yeah, and I was looking at that game, and I was like, you know what? I'm not just going to straight up take the Brewers money line there. But I do like Kyle Gibson to start giving up some runs. He's starting to show some cracks. He's got only 11 strikeouts combined in his last three games. He is still not getting any swing strikes. He's got single-digit swing strikes in every start this year but one. And I just think we're going to – the weather's getting a little bit hotter. We're starting to see these balls jump around. Scoring across all of Major League Baseball is still up because, I mean, there are a lot of different reasons for it. But I like the over on the team total there. And we got a true beer can game. Denilson Lamet and John Brebbia starting – in Coors Field, 85 degrees in Denver there tonight. We talked about Lamet back in his first start. He did not do so hot. And I'm honestly surprised that he is in rotation right now. But I think he's just going to give up like 5-6 runs every game he starts for the Rockies at home.
I've been betting on Miami every night, and they've been hot, and they've been covering. Real quick, 10 seconds, what do you like in that? White Sox have won 3 in a row, whatever, maybe 4. They're taking on the Yankees tonight in a boogie down.
Yeah, give me Giolito. Give me Eloy Jimenez hitting a first inning home run off Clark Schmidt.
You had to kick me in the teeth, huh? All right, I'll see you tomorrow. Good to see you, my man, Davis Maddock, everybody.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Well, let's keep talking baseball, Carver High, because a lot shook out last night. I made some money.
Certainly did. Let's start in Miami, where the Marlins continue to win. They beat the Royals 9-6 last night. Brian De La Cruz going big fly on Bally Sports Florida.
The bat is going to find the ball. De La Cruz, high fly ball, left center field, gives it a run.
So they were down 4-0. They win 9-6. I laid a run and a half and got it at plus 126. That was nice. They've won 8 of 10, and You know, I got to be honest with you. They're starting to remind me of the, you know, playoff team from a couple years ago, or even the 03 team that won it all. I don't think they're going to win it all, but they started playing really good baseball in June, July, August, and then by September, they were so in it, it wasn't even funny, and they got the wild card. So this team is right there, right? Like, you look at them, they've won 8 of 10, and what are they, 3 back of the Braves? Did anyone think that the Marlins would be in second place in the first week of June? No.
No. Definitely not. They have been really good so far. They can get a chance to beat up on Kansas City a little bit more tonight. The Buccos also, Scotty, continue to roll. As they beat the A's 5-4 last night, they take the first game. So what's that? That's 4 in a row at home. How many they got in a row? And 5 in a row for the Buccos?
6.
Is it 5 in a row?
6.
6 in a row for the Buccos right now. 4-0 on this 9-game homestand that they have. Let's go, Pirates. We're going to have to – listen, they win tonight. We got to get the Pirate highlights back on C2C. They've left us a little bare the last few days.
They're in first.
With the Bucco
They're
highlights.
They're in first place.
They are in first. They are in first. Astros beat the Jays 11-4 last night. The Astros hit Alek Manoah so hard in that game, Scotty.
Told you.
That they sent him to the minors. Not just the minors. They sent him all the way to the bottom of the minors. Like, they spend him to, like, the instructional league, this guy.
Yeah.
It was a first inning he gave
to
up
the
six
complex
runs.
To start
to the
over.
Complex is where they sent Manoah. Not a good scene. 11-4 was the final. This Yordan Alvarez homer also has not landed yet on AT&T Sportsnet Southwest.
It landed at the complex.
This ball to straightaway center field. Kiermaier will watch it. Speaking of the flight deck, Air Yordan just landed in the flight deck. A bomb to straightaway center field. Now arriving.
I mean, remember, it was 115 all day. I think it went off at 105, and we were on it yesterday on C2C. We're like, this guy Manoah gets lit up every time he pitches. Bet on the Astros in Toronto. It was one of our favorite plays.
The Phillies beat the Tigers 8-3. Remember
Cover.
Last week... Remember last week, Trey Turner had a big home run. We thought that maybe he would start to bust out of that slump he was in over the first 2 months of the season. Last night, 2 homers for Turner, the second one on NBC Sports Philadelphia.
Turner hits one in the air to deep left field. He's going to have 2. That's long gone into the second deck. A solo home run. 424. I think somebody's getting hot. It's 5-0 Phillies.
Well, I'll give you this. They're starting to win. They've won 3 in a row, but they're still, I think, 7.5 deep. They got a lot of work to do, but the fact that he's getting hot is a really good sign. If they got him going and Schwarbaum hit 2 the other day, and if they get Bryce Harper going, they can and will be lethal.
The Reds beat the Brewers 2-0 last night. Stuart Fairchild, who? The solo home run on Bally Sports Ohio for the Reds.
Starter. That is blasted to left. Perkins spun around. Fairchild goes yard. His second shot of the season. And the Reds claim the lead.
Yes, Fairchild, son, with an impressive performance.
And I know you've been talking about the Reds a lot lately. They've been kind of scrappy. They've been in some games, winning here and there. Tonight will be the debut of Ellie De La Cruz. He gets called up from the minors, Scotty. Watch for this guy. He hits bombs, this dude. He's the Reds' top prospect. He's the number 4 prospect in all of baseball. He'll be making his debut tonight for Cincinnati. He's hitting cleanup. Playing short, the Reds are ready to roll him out there, and let's see if all the returns are right. I mean, he's
got a price on him for a homer. We got the ring the bell. We bringing it back tonight.
I saw 4-1, plus 400 for him tonight, and I think he's going to be on the card. I think that I have to. Guy, that's pretty low for a guy making his major league debut, and they put him up at 4-1 right out of the gate. So Let's go get it with De La Cruz tonight in Cincinnati. Let's go.
That'd be funny.
Rangers beat the Cardinals 4-3. Walk-off style. Nathaniel Lau on Bally Sports Southwest.
Low bounces it left side and through base hit. Here comes Semien. The throw on the way. It's offline. And the Rangers win it.
You know, I had no business winning that bet last night. You're up 3-1 in the eighth. You blow it. It's 3-all. They got out of a, I think, bases loaded jam. And they went to the ninth, bottom of the ninth, and they scored the run. I think, you know, Semien getting on started it. And they were able to get him home on that grounder through the hole at short. So that's wow. I love seeing that, you know, with the shift and everything gone, that you can hit a ball now without having to worry about seven guys being on one side of the field.
And this Ranger news, Scotty, just came across the desk literally 2 minutes ago. So as we know, the Rangers have been excellent this year. First place in the AL West. They gave Jacob DeGrom a lot of money in the offseason. Word now, Scotty, DeGrom will undergo Tommy John to repair a tear in his UCL. DeGrom, who they just moved to the 60-day DL yesterday, he will not be coming off any IL at all this year. Tommy John for Jacob DeGrom. Wow, Scotty. How about that after all?
I mean, that's enormous. And at the beginning of the show, I was like, this guy never pitches. He's making all this money. There's something wrong with him. I can't figure it out. He's always injured, blah, blah, blah. And now he's done. I mean, say goodbye to him for at least a year or more. Like, so bottom line is this.
Yeah.
Jacob DeGrom, no one wants to admit it, but he throws 100 miles an hour on every single pitch, and his arm literally fell off. He is never going to be the same. I don't care what anybody says. He doesn't matter anymore after this. As far as I'm concerned, you're not going to bring him back and he's going to start greasing a buck five. It's not happening.
That is, wow, quite the development for the Texas Rangers.
And he gets all the money. He gets all the money.
He gets all the money no matter what. We know that.
Boy, did they get
fleeced. We also know that a lot of Met fans wanted to give him that money this offseason and were upset when they didn't give him that money. Now you see, look, weird things happen, and you see it right there.
Here's the deal. When you see a guy, whether it's on your team or another one, and let's say he's your star pitcher, like the Mets fans, they're so stupid. I mean, this guy they wanted to give him the money, and this guy was never able to pitch. He was always injured, and he was missing starts left and right, missing months left and right. And then you want to give him the money, and knowing that he's constantly got problems, that's all you need to know. The guy that has problems, constantly missing starts, never pitching, and then the deal's up, you want to give him the money. This is the table setter now. From now on, you know this. If your star player never plays and you want to give him the money, you're going to get ripped off and roasted like this guy. They gave him all that money. They got fleeced. The Mets fans should be so lucky because they wanted to give him the money. When your guy never pitches, know this. He's real close to never pitching anymore at all. That's what happens. His arm fell off.
No doubt. And finally, last night, the Padres beat the Cubs 5-0. How about we ring the bell for Gary Sanchez, his third homer in 1 week with the Padres, Scotty, courtesy of MLB.
For like a month. They got here last Thursday on the off day, so they just took advantage of it. Here's a liner to deep left. Back is half. That ball's gone. Welcome to San Diego, Gary Sanchez. A two-run home run as the Padres on top 2-0. His first Petco Park home run in a Padres uniform after two on the road.
So three home runs. He's been there a week. And here's the deal. They'll cheer him. They'll go crazy. They're excited about it. Know this. Just know this. Be clear. He will strike out 95% of the time.
Yes. He is one
of
those guys.
It don't matter how many home runs he hits. He sucks.
No, well, he's in that pool of guys He's in that pool of guys like Ernest and Julio Gallo and others that there's only two outcomes. It's homer and it's strikeout.
Feast or famine.
And that's it. And there ain't nothing else. But I will, when he's hot, he hits them in bunches. And he's got three in a week for being there. But there's going to be a week stretch where he strikes out 27 times also.
There'll be a month stretch.
There'll be a month stretch where that also comes. There you go. Odds to win the AL, I've got for you quickly here. The Rays, the favorites as of right now to win the AL, plus 275. Then the Astros, Yankees, and then Rangers. I was curious to see where the Rangers, Scotty, had been moving on this board. They are now the fourth choice to win the AL. Twins, Orioles, everybody else has long odds.
Well, I'll give you this. The Rangers have won and led that division without Jacob DeGrom. They have been doing this without him. So with him, they're even better. Without him, they are still in first place. They have still been, I think, you know, for my money, they've been more exciting than the Rays. That's for my money. I think Texas is actually a more dangerous team for my money. I'm not sold on the Rays winning the American League. I'm really not. I'm not sold on it. I think Texas has a shot. I think their problem is right underneath them, smelling them, is the Astros. We already know how good they can be.
And look, they have their offense. I mean, they got a lot of power in that Ranger offense between Simeon and Seager, and they found these guys like Lowe and Jung, right. The catcher Himes got 45 RBIs.
I like the Orioles and Yankees too, Mike.
Yeah,
I do.
Yeah, and quickly, National League, Braves and Dodgers are both 2-1. There, they are the co-favorites on the odds board for the NL, and then the Mets, Padres, Brewers, Phillies, Diamondbacks. Where are the Buccos? Come on, first place in the NL Central. Get the Buccos on the board.
Listen,
where are the Marlins?
I think the Pirates have a better team this year than the Padres. And I still think the Mets are going to be involved in this thing in some capacity. And all those other teams, the Brewers and all the rest of them, I'm not sold on them.
There's a lot of summer left.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
It's time for Today in Carver High History.
We'll start in 1966. Another merger happened on this day. Of course, we had the PGA-LIV merger today. In 1966, pretty funny, on the same exact day, the NFL and the AFL announced their merger. How about that? 1970,
that Mark one was Report bigger.
Wins the French Open. Yes, it was. Straight sets. 1976, Boston Celtics beat the Suns in six to win the NBA title. 87, Steffi Graf beat Martina Navratilova to win the French at 17 years old, her first Grand Slam victory. 92, Monica Seles defended her title. She beat Steffi Graf. 92, Mets first baseman Eddie Murray records his 1,510th RBI to pass Mickey Mantle, all-time RBI leader among switch hitters. 99, Andre Agassi wins his first and only French Open title over Medvedev in five sets. 2007, Andre Agassi, how about that? 2007, the Ducks, Scotty. We give the Ducks a lot of business here on Coast to Coast. But we have for you today, in 2007, the greatest moment in their franchise's history. In five, they beat the Ottawa Senators.
In each of the four rounds, another word was added to the black T-shirt. The words for the four rounds are passion, sacrifice, heart, and destiny. They had them all. And they are about to win it all. The Anaheim Ducks are the Stanley Cup champions.
How about that?
There you go. Doc Emrick on the call. 2010, Rafa won his fifth title. 2015, American Pharoah won the Belmont Stakes, first horse in 37 years to win the Triple Crown. I was at Belmont that day with your boy, Jody Mack, at the track. 2015 also, Serena Williams wins her third French Open. 2015, Barcelona beat Juventus. 2017, Scooter Gennett of the Reds, 17th player to hit four homers in a game. Who? 2018, LeBron eclipsed Jordan for most 30-point games in NBA playoff history.
Gets Laugh brought that cup to my studio at Howard Stern.
Wow!
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Another checkered flag for the books. Time to celebrate with Chumba. Jump in at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See TNCs 21+. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.